that I ran across was at Mr. Wheeler's yard in the late 1880s, I believe it was 1889, that around Thanksgiving time, he gave each of his workers, I believe it was 25 or 50 pound sack of flour as a gift. And this shortly after that, the workers presented Mr. Wheeler with a gold-headed cane, nice little inscription on it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it doesn't state that they had, now the lumberman, for example, had a hospital, Lumberman's Hospital in Saginaw, eventually was taken over by the Sisters of Mercy and became St. Mary's of Saginaw. But the shipbuilders didn't have this type of benefit as the lumbermen did. Let's take a one ship and see if we can follow as much of a cost on it as we have data on a ship. Here we've got the R. L. Fryer, and you've got quite a bit of data on that. What exactly would the statistics on that be as far as cost, how much it cost to make the ship, how much it was sold for, maybe some things such as this?
Well, for example, the Robert L. Fryer was launched in May of 1888. She was owned by W.H. Gartwick and others of Buffalo, New York, and she was 300 foot overall. She had a 41 foot beam and 23 foot deep, and her cost was $35,000. And she will play in the iron ore and grain trade, as most of these vessels did. That price of $35,000, of course, came from the Bay City Tribune, but my experience with finding the price of these vessels, I believe it would cost more like $135,000. $35,000 just seems too cheap for a large vessel of 300 feet built of wood, and she would carry a triple expansion engine besides with a large Scotch marine boiler. So this was a kind of expensive ship. This is something that you find out going through the newspapers. You'll find errors like this here, and most of the time you have to use judgment on them. But a ship like this would probably take, I would guess, probably four or five months to build. Mm-hmm. With the monument they had. This is by the time the keel was laid and she was ready for business.
Now, was this particular ship launched at the Wheeler Yard?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It's also interesting that most of these vessels, I imagine the interior work, such as paint, glass, or furniture, everything would come right from local dealers here mm-hmm. in West Bay City, which would also boost the economy. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's finish up here with one more question. We know that... Bay City, we determined that Bay City at this time, particularly near the end of the shipbuilding boom, was quite a little town. Now, these men were paid, and they went home, of course. I assume they went home, took the money with them, and what did they use this money for? Now, what kind of items were purchased? I mean, we know that they had to buy food and they had to buy clothing. But was there anything that you've come across in your research that stood out, perhaps like a sore thumb, that was unusual that they use this money for? Because take for instance, and maybe we can relate this to the aspect of a company store. Now we know that Henry Sage had a company store. I assume some of the other lumber mills did. But was a company store ever used in the shipbuilding industry in Bay City?
No, because the only reason I could say is that they weren't that interested, and there wasn't that much profit in a company store. Of course, these men worked until Saturday night. They got paid. They went home. I imagine they were paid in cash, by the way. Always are paid in cash. And you had mentioned that you assumed they went home. It was kind of interesting that as a young kid, I can remember right at the foot of the viaduct, there used to be an old double home there, and it was a saloon. I checked about it was a saloon at one time, so I imagine many of the guys stopped off there before they went home. But most of the money, I imagine, like people, they were renting a home. They were common people. They didn't have enough money to buy a home,
imagine the biggest percent of that went for their rent right off of that, because they had to, you could get credit at the local meat market, but I don't think you could get credit from your landlord. Not too handy anyway. But I've never run across really what they spent their money for. Except we know that it would definitely go back into the economy of West Bay City and Bay City also. But there's, like I say, I would anticipate that the biggest part would go for rent.
Mm-hmm. Their homes, the ordinary things of
life that was
right.
Essential.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Luxuries weren't too well known in that day.
It just, in sharp contrast to some of the huge, expensive homes you'll see, you know, even today on Center Avenue, and to some extent on, I guess you'd call it the Center Avenue of the West Side, Midland Street there.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast to these homes, were just millions and millions and millions of dollars were, you know, undoubtedly made by these men that built these palaces. And the poor people here are going home and spending their money on just trying to stay alive, and it's really in sharp contrast.
It's almost true today.
Well, definitely, I guess things really haven't changed.
It's strange because going through these newspapers, you can almost follow the same, I need to call it, environmental pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It follows, you have the same problems of today as you had back then. Maybe I'm not quite at such a large scale because population-wise, but there still is the problems of those days that are almost related to problems of today. But times, I don't think, have really changed that much.
Mm-hmm.
Economy-wise, yes, but otherwise, I'd say no. There still a problem with pollution.
Mm-hmm. Even in those days.
Shipbuilding was a big industry in Bay City. Not as big as it used to be, but it's still around.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be for a long time.